Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. We have a lovely guest today. Our guest is Nick Musica. Nick is an SEO expert, plant medicine enthusiast, and psychic animal communicator. After his first psychic and psychedelic experiences in his early 20s, he led a relatively normal life for about 25 years. I hope that's correct. And I hope you did have a normal life. His journey shifted when he began exploring consciousness through plant medicine and spiritual teachings. A psychic medium predicted he would easily communicate with animals, and after some practice, that became a reality. So now you connect with animals intuitively, and I would love to hear all about it. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Thank you so much, Deanna. Good morning.
Good morning. So how did your journey start with communicating with animals? Can you walk us through your steps?
Yeah. I mean, things started to get interesting in 2017 when I first spent time with San Pedro, the cactus, psychedelic cactus, plant medicine. And that led into meditation and working with a teacher. And things started to get, like I said, interesting from there. And then fast forward to about 2 years ago, my wife and I went to a psychic fair in Carlsbad, where we live. And we walked the floor and didn't really feel anything. You know, we weren't really attracted to anyone. And then we decided to approach the floor in the opposite direction. And right smack dab in front of us, there was a sign that said, "Psychic medium, medium Adelita." And I looked at my wife and I said, "Hey, Jewel, what do you think of her?" And my wife said, "That sounds great. You go first." Okay, so I'll go first. And I thought I thought Adelita would be good for Julieta, my wife. And I thought I was just sort of playing along. I've been to psychics before, but psychic mediums were sort of just not part of my bag and not something I would say, "Hey, Deanna, let's talk about psychic mediums." Like, it just wasn't a thing for me, right? So I sit down with the intention of being supportive, and she starts the session by drawing a heart. And she goes, "This is either a former romantic relationship or it's an animal." And she circles animal. And the first thing out of her mouth is, "You did too much." And immediately I'm just like bawling like a little girl whose brother just ripped off her Barbie doll's head, you know? And it's my cat. It's my cat who lived to be 22.
Wow.
The last 2 years of his life, we're going back and forth to the vet. To address all the symptoms of old age for a cat that, you know, hydration packs and running the test, you know, all the things. There's no problems to be solved, but there's a whole lot of, let's take a look at the symptoms, right? So "You did too much" was a perfect summary. And I'm catching up to, I'm not sitting here as a passive support for what I thought was a good idea for someone else. I'm highly involved in what's going on right now, right? And as I'm catching up to the reality of what's going on, she's continuing to do her thing. And she goes, "They," talking about her guides, "they're showing me Dr. Doolittle. They're showing me that you can talk to animals and it's going to be easy for you." And there's a more than one thought going through my head, but you know, the feeling that I had and the thought that went with it was, that's absolutely true. I have no reason to think it is, but 100% that's true. Yeah, you're right. And at the end of it, at the end of, you know, all but very meaningful 15 minutes, she goes, "Well, how did all that land for you?" And I was like, "No, that seems spot on to me." And so I went home and I did my normal meditation. And I thought, well, let me see if I can find my living cat, Chucky. Let's give it a shot. If it's going to be easy, it should be easy, right? She said it. So let's just make that assumption. And so I do my typical meditation and I see this bright white light. And it's the type that you would associate with like spirit guides or angels or some higher level being, right? And I go, no, not, Not my cat. He poops in a box and sometimes on the floor. This is not my th that this is not what's happening, right? So I eventually call her up and I said, easy, like this isn't even happening. And her guidance was, well, you're expecting to see things in a very specific way. Just be the channel to receive the information, and what you get is what you get. All right. Well, that seems simple enough, right? So I give it a second shot. And I buy animal communication books, and I set up a couple animal communication sessions with folks who actually do this, because I'm trying to figure out anything about how it all works, right? Like I figured, so in hindsight, I was like, absolutely, this is going to be a thing, and I have no idea what it looks like, none. And I love the stories from the books, and I get this session, and as I'm about to go to this session, just like this on Zoom, I get up from my dining room table, and I see this flash. It's a flash of one of the ending scenes of Return of the Jedi, where Obi-Wan and Yoda, the ghosts, are standing next to each other, and I get that. And I know that I'm being shown this student-teacher relationship. And I know that I'm not the teacher. And Chuckadoo, well, Chucky, the cat, is sitting on the couch, and I know it's coming from him. So I get online with the animal communicator, right? And she's validating why we're here, what we're doing. And she goes, so Chucky, do you know who he is to you? And now we're off talking about who he is, why he's here to help me open up, and the details around that. So that's how it started. So that white light in the beginning was really his introduction to me. And I was just like, no, that's not a thing.
So when she was talking about Dr. Doolittle, like there was never any doubt at the beginning that, okay, this is actually what I came here to do. Like it just 100% quickly resonated.
Yeah, it did. It did. Yeah. And so here are the things she didn't know. And so as she says this, and she and I have talked, she's like, I don't remember all the sessions, but I remember you. And I remember you giving me the side eye. Like, what did you just say? Right. And the feeling of truth of you're gonna do this certainly landed. But what she didn't know, and I've never told her, is, that happened in March. So that was 2 Marches ago or something like that. The September before, we were out with a friend who had a healing center in Colorado, and she started to talk about the dog that she had, and she had this animal communicator come in, and she did a reading for the dog. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, no, it's just like a psychic reading, but with animals. I'm like, that's a thing? Like, you're kidding me, right? So I get this book, and I'm like, this is amazing. Like this, the stories, and like I'm obsessing about this book, and. For anyone who's just like, oh, that's really good for you, Nick, but like this seems so far-fetched, like all of these things are so far-fetched, but right. The month before that, in August, I ended up in the hospital for 4 days. So check this out. So we had Mike come over who cleans our carpets. And my job is to wrangle cat number one and cat number two, Chucky and Ninja, and put them in the bathrooms. Lock them in so Mike can do his thing, and then I let him out. Well, I couldn't find Ninja, and now I'm stressed. Finally find her, and I'm escorting her downstairs. I have her little body on my forearm, and my hand is in front of her face. And she reacts, because I'm stressed, she's stressed. There should be a reaction, right? And she bites my finger. She bites the first digit. And I'm like, oh my God. That hurt a lot. I'm pretty sure she hit the bone. And then I forget about it. I get antibiotics. 2 weeks later, I'm hiking with a buddy, and he's like, why do you still have the bandage on your finger? And I'm like, well, the doctor said it was going to get worse before it gets better. Like, it's probably, he's like, no, like infections don't take 2 weeks to get better and then worse and then better, right? And I never had an infection. I'm also a little in denial. And I end up going to the hospital, and I go back the next day after they discharge me, and it landed in the hospital for 4 days with a bone infection. So the would-be animal communicator, right? Like, but it should come naturally. You should be good at it. No, there's a lot of mistakes along the way.
Oh, I completely believe it. So, what is then, how did you develop your own communication style with animals?
It's going to sound so hokey, and And when I was getting counsel, as I was going through, like, I don't understand how it works, and it's not like it's not doesn't feel natural to me, horses kept coming up. And the question was, what do you do with horses? I mean, I don't do anything with horses. Well, maybe you should do something in the horses. And I talked to another reader, and she's like, I know a place near you. You should contact them. And so I contacted them. And so I eventually got involved, and I at this horse sanctuary, and I'm in this. There's a day where I'm a morning. I'm in this big pen. We're doing the switch out. There's four horses in the big pen. There's four in individual stalls, and these four are going to go over here, and these four go over there. Right? I didn't grow up with horses. I have no idea how to interact with them. No clue. They're way bigger than cats. And the when they come out, they're like full of energy, like they're anxious to get out of the pens, right?
Yeah.
The stalls. And I hear someone yell, "Hold your fist up, palm up." So I do this. That's how you say hello to them. All right. So I do this, and I'm sort of like not wanting to engage with anyone, but I'm holding my fist up. And one horse comes by, and I like touch my hand to his nose, the alpha, and I sort of, retract a bit. And then another horse comes through, and he puts his hand on my his nose on my hand. He initiates what I refer to as the handshake. And I'm like, "You're my guy. I don't know what's happening, but you're my guy, right?" And this was probably like 2 or 3 weeks at least, but it was consistent, right? That was the introduction. So it's like there's an introduction to this. There's an exchange of meeting the being and acknowledging. Just like you would a human being, like, "Hey, how's it going?" There's the handshake, right? So that was like lesson number one for me, because I kept hearing it's the same thing with horses as it is for humans. And in 2017, I met a gentleman, and he ran me through how to read energy and taught me a bunch of stuff and how to track people's energy. So I'm like I'm trying to contextualize that in this context, right? And it's and but I'm trying to force it too much. It's just not working. But that first interaction with Bravo, the horse. I was like, "Oh, that's I'm on the path. I don't know, but I'm on the path." And so next week I show up, and I'm in the pen with him. It's just he and I, and I feel this energetic connection. And then all of a sudden, it's gone. And so the lesson was the energetic connection. So now I'm putting the pieces together, right? There's an acknowledgement of permission to connect, and then there's the energetic connection of it. And then the following week, very similar, get into the pen, and I'm trying to like intentionally connect. Like, you try real hard, right? And that's like the worst thing you do. You make it work. And so I'm like, I'm trying, like, and I'm like, but I feel like we're already connecting, and or connected, and then I feel the connection drop. And I'm like, he's gonna walk away. He's gonna walk away. And like 3, 2, 1, he walks away. I'm like, and that's the basic of it all, is that acknowledgement, the energetic connection, and then the disconnect. And that was the building block around how to do it.
Wow, that's really, I mean, that's really amazing. And it's also interesting that the horse would be your first creature.
Super healing.
Intimidating at all.
I mean, they're amazing. They're amazing. Super healing. They're super cool critters.
So how long did it take for you to feel like kind of in your zone, like comfortable with communicating with, I'm assuming, all types of animals?
Far and wide. Yeah, and it took me a while, right? So, like, it had to be hard, right? Like, it can't be that easy. And really, it is that easy, right? When it comes down to it, when you make that full circle, you go, "Oh my goodness, it is that easy." It just is. But I had to sort of like work through these, like, no, trip and fall here, get up, trip and fall here, obstacle. It can't be easy. But there were animals were showing up for me, like a dolphin in Mexico, snakes I saw for years, the energetics of the paths that they would leave. Chucky was present, random dog at Home Depot. Like, it was just constantly showing up for me. And then I thought, well, can I do this for other people? I've no clue. I have no clue. Like, it feels like a party trick, right? And like it's fun, but like you feel a little weird. And like, who do you tell? And how do you even phrase it? And people walk away. They look at you like you're nutso. And I figured, let me see if I can do it for someone else. And so I went on to Nextdoor. And I said, "Hi, my name is Nick Musica. I'm an animal communicator. That means I psychically talk to animals. Click here for free 15 minutes." And I used a Google form, a spreadsheet to capture the information. So I hit submit. And if you're not familiar with Nextdoor, it's like it's sort of like Facebook. It's not people you know, but it's your
Oh, I know
neighbors, right?
it. I'm very familiar.
Same ridiculous conversation, productive conversations too, but like, it's very similar dynamics, right? So I hit submit, and this was like, when Trump and Biden were in office. And so I'm used to that dynamic. This guy sucks, this guy's the best, that type of And I hit submit, and I'm waiting. And I'm waiting for the form to fill out, and I'm looking at what I submitted on Nextdoor, and people start to comment. Like, "This is amazing. This is nonsense. Are you for real?" Like, and it starts to have this that type of dynamic. And I'm like, "Oh shit, like, what did I just do?" And I'm feeling like the need to get involved, regulate, and defend. And I'm like, "Let me just play it out. Let's see what happens here." And it was super cool. It was the first time that I saw that self-selection happening, right? People either go, "I'm in it," or they go, "This is nonsense. And great, you're not my people." And you guys, I don't know if you are either, but like, there could be a conversation there. Great.
That's really exciting too. I mean, it really is. You open a door, and on neighborhood.com, which is brave, I think as well. And it's so great to see at least the number of people who are open-minded enough to believe that it's possible.
Totally, totally, totally. And so, obsessing about the form, and all this is happening pretty quickly. And I see the first row fill up, the human's first, last name, phone number, email, like basic information, and the name and age of animal, breed, and I feel her come through. More importantly, I feel the connection come through, which I later have identified as the intention to connect. Which is the permission that I need. Like, if you don't give me intention, like, it's just, it doesn't work. Just doesn't. There's nothing to work with there. But if you have the intention, then it's cool. Then the animals typically just shows up and is like, let's have the conversation, because the human gave the okay, right? And I'm here for the human. So if they say okay, it's okay for me. And so after like 15, 20 minutes with this young lady, she goes, "So the reason why I want to have a chat with you is because my former animal communicator passed, and my friends are looking for a new one. Would you be okay if I sent you referrals?" And I was like, yes, like, first one out of the gate, right? I couldn't have expected anything better, because I go into it going, "Can I do this? Is this going to work out?" Right? Doubt, doubt, doubt. I don't know. But and you're still taking a step forward to see what's going to happen. And that was the validation that was really helpful for me to go, okay, so it's a thing. Let's see what happens.
Have you ever felt any sort of resistance from the animals themselves when you're tapping in to communicate with them? What is that like?
There was one time, and this—it's funny how like things morph and change over time, and dogs more recently sort of show up like at the back of a yard, and then they sort of zigzag run forward, and now we're talking. It's funny how that happens, right? And there was one dog who was just out the back of the yard, and I'm sort of waiting for him to come up. And he's like, "She said it was okay, but I'm not necessarily okay with this." "Oh, okay. Well, I'm here for the better of this human. It's your choice to connect or not. Like, you do what you want to do, right?" And then the dog shows up. I'm like, "Damn, this is one protective dog, right?" And so that was the conversation with this young lady. Like, all this protection with this dog, and like, let's talk about that and contextualize it. And that was super cool. The other time, this was super trippy. And so most of the beings that show up are animals. On rare occasion, something else may show up, and it really th this threw me off. I sat on the couch for like 2 hours by myself, just staring at the wall after this happened. Among the oddities that showed up in this one reading, there were two cats that came through, and I started talking to the cat that was on the planet. And then the off-planet cat, the cat that passed, showed up, and they were neck and neck in the door, at the door jamb, I guess you would call it. And no one was moving forward. And I'm like, someone's like to have a conversation, someone has to come forward. And sort of in unison, what I heard was, but we're the same. I was like, oh, okay, I don't know what that means. And when I said that to the young lady who I was doing the reading for, who also has a super cool connection, she goes, oh, well, they share a body. So they the right. And I've read about this, and is like academics are very different than experience, right? They're totally different things. You can read about it and go, this is amazing, it's super cool. But until you jump out of that plane, you have not experienced skydiving. Right. It's not an academic exercise. And neither is this. And so it shows up and like, oh my goodness, like I read about this, but like I didn't know what it would look like. And now I have a sense of what it looks like. So they have a deal. They come in and out and they spend some time with this human and then hops back into wherever they go.
Oh, that's totally crazy. I would have never thought about that. I completely love that. So, what types of messages have you received from animals when you're tapping into them? Like, do they have messages for their owners? Is it about their living space, their health? Like, what are you used to getting?
I mean, and people sort of have themes, right? From what I've understand when I talk to other folks who do this, like this is my take is we all do it very similarly. Meditation, taking care of yourself, connecting, like there's some things that are very similar, but then how it shows up, the expression of it is very, very different. I mean, there's folks I've talked to. I went to last November, I think it was October. I went up to South Lake Tahoe here in California, because there was a holistic animal veterinarian conference, and in the agenda, among other things, was animal communication. I was like, I want to go to a place where people are talking about it, like it's a real thing, right? And not have to over-explain and like, oh, I just want to go and be with these people. And they were talking about folks that they work with, and one they mentioned one person who is like she could find she found like a 4 millimeter something behind an organ, and the veterinarian didn't find it. And she's like, all right, I'll go look for it. And sure enough, it's there. Right. So like I don't do that, but that's amazing. It's amazing. My regular is someone typically comes to me with a behavioral problem. And then it turns into about the human. So last week a young lady came to me from Australia. So I'm like, I'm international now. So she comes to me and she says, I asked people for three questions. And one of her questions was, if I get a new couch, will the cat pee on it like he did the old couch? My promise is I will ask the question. I can't promise if anyone's going to answer. I can't tell anyone what to do. I just open up the space and, be that channel. And at first the cat says, wasn't me. And I'm like, wasn't like, but there wasn't like defending his action. He was just like, wasn't me. But I'm like, but it was you. Well, now I'm confused, right? I'm a little confused about it. And there were other notes. So I typically take notes like on a Friday or on a Wednesday, then with the animal, I'll talk to him on a Wednesday, then I'll debrief with the human on a Friday. That's the process. And so I look at my notes and I debrief with folks. And I go, so I heard these two pieces of information, but they're connected. It was almost like there was a comma between these two phrases. And the first phrase was move forward, comma, glass. And she goes, well, and this will get us back to the couch. She goes, well, I had a relationship about a year ago. I broke it off and I got rid of almost everything from my former partner, including that couch the cat peed on, that, by the way, she didn't sit on, he sat on, her former partner. Right? And I like the emotion that comes through too. And but I've been holding on to this glass table that we bought together. Okay, so you asked me, will the cat pee on the couch? I can't give you a definite one way or the other. We all get to do whatever we want, and by we I mean humans, critters, whatever it is. But I highly suggest you cut your emotional and energetic ties with this human being by getting rid of that glass table first, and then you get that couch. Just cut the ties, be rid of it, and now it's clean, because that cat is not happy with the relationship. He was literally peeing on the couch that dude used to sit on.
Wow.
Get rid of it, and get rid of that cat, get rid of that table.
That's so crazy.
That is the norm, right? So like when she's like, you're going to be able to do this, it's going to be easy. I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
No idea what it looked like. No clue.
What about in your dream state? Do you ever dream about animals that you communicated with before, or that you may, where somebody in the future might reach out to you and, unexpectedly you have a dream about this animal?
So I'd love to talk about two things related to dreams. So it's one, when I was 20, I started to live snippets of dreams. What I later, 20 something years later, 30 something years later, I would find out to be called clairvoyant dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So I would dream about a random person walking a dog on a random corner in a random city. Never saw this person, never been to that corner, certainly not in that city, right? And then a day, week, a month, whenever it is later, I'm driving by that corner, there's that person with that dog, right? So that type of thing would show up, and I'm like, what is, like, this? It's, this is not deja vu, this is not lucid dreaming. I feel like I've been here, I feel like I've done this. I've actively done this before. And so that would show up. And that, it's adorable. That used to be the weird thing that would show up, right? And I didn't want to talk about it. Right? Who do you talk to about that type of thing?
Exactly.
Not a lot of people, right? So that was present for a long time. The one thing that maps directly to your question is I woke up like 6:30, 6 o'clock in the morning with this presence. And this is when I was first starting with this presence. It was a person in the hospital, non-responsive, and there was this heavy feeling of I'm sorry. And I woke up, and you're sort of like, I was aware, but not really understanding what was happening. And I'm like, I'm not comfortable with this. I don't know what's going on. I'm not comfortable with this. And then I started to try to look for the person, and it was gone. And that was like on a Wednesday, and I had like two or three sessions on Friday. And I was like, I wonder, but I'm going to ask. I need to ask. So the last session that I had, I asked the young lady. I said, I'm just asking everyone today, randomly, do you happen to know anyone in the hospital who is non-responsive? She goes, my sister tried to commit suicide yesterday. And so, like, everything we're talking about, None of it makes any sense. Also, it all makes sense, right? So, from a linear perspective, where my brain goes to a lot less now, but at the time was like, it has to make sense. Because I had that dream on a Wednesday, and her sister acted on Thursday, and now I'm talking to this woman on Friday. So the timing doesn't map, right? So that doesn't make sense to me. I don't give a shit about timing anymore. Like, if that thing were to show up today, like, I'd be way more comfortable to have the conversation, assuming it was a good idea to have the conversation. But that was the only time that type of thing showed up. And I was like, oh, okay. So did your sister have a dog? Because that would make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, yeah, she had a couple dogs. And do they know your dog? Yeah, they've met a couple times. They know each other. Okay. Because the deal I have is animals. Right? That's the deal that I have. And so I asked, I'm like, I don't understand. Someone's showing up in my dreams. What's going on? And they're like, and I was like, because animals. And I'm like, right, animals. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. So as soon as you create that access for the animals, they will pick and choose who comes in.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I don't think we think about animals that way, but they really are a part of our lives. Like, they really do care.
They are, I talked to personalities, and I talked to higher selves and bodies of animals. Mostly higher selves than personalities than bodies. But they are without a doubt the teachers here to to help us out with everything. I mean, plant medicine, like what can I learn from a cactus or a mushroom? Well, you know what? If you spent time with it a lot. How about animals? A lot. How about just walking in nature, right? Because it's all the same thing. It's all the same. Every little being, whether it has four legs or no legs and a trunk or two legs, or wings or whatever it may be, there's a consciousness to them, and we get to acknowledge that we are not necessarily the bee's knees on the planet. Just because we have thumbs and credit cards doesn't make us the best thing on the planet. And if the reason why we are here, there's a bit of humility around, we can learn from other things.
100%. Not sure you can answer this, but I'm sure you've pondered about animal heaven, the animal afterlife. What does that look like when you're communicating with deceased animals? How do they appear? Where are they at?
So a gentleman showed up, and he wanted me to talk to his cat, and I told him what I was seeing, and his response was, "But that was so long ago." I'm like, "Well, what do you mean so long ago?" He's like, "That was 20 years ago." I said, "Well, how old is your cat?" That doesn't make any sense. So long as, like, have you called Guinness? Like, this is amazing. And he goes, no, the cat passed, a long time ago." Oh, okay. Okay, so past critters are now showing up. And I never really gave it any thought, one way or the other. And then I started to pay attention. And they're a little harder to track down. They're a little floaty sometimes. So if you would imagine, like a birthday party where there's like balloons tied to the mailbox. Like if you could imagine a feeling with those balloons, that's sort of how it feels. You sort of have to like really be aware of them not being on the same plane in some way. At least that's how it shows up for me.
I think people, I mean, we're very much so tied to our pets. We have a deep, deep relationship with them. So of course, I think that's a looming question when you lose a pet. Like, where are they?
Like where do they go?
Where do they go? And are they watching over me? I think people wonder about this.
And I was the guy who, even after, so Henry is the cat who passed that Adelita broke up. But, like there were certainly times that I would search just a few years ago, and he's been gone for a long time. Like what happens, what happens after cats die? Is there a soul? Is there a cat heaven? And without any amount of imagination of I'll be experiencing that one day. No, but I was wondering.
I think we all do. I will say one of the coolest things, and I'm sure this happens to everybody, is when you've had an animal pass years later. For me, it's like year like I've had a dog that died a long time ago, but then yes, 15 years later, I'll just start dreaming about her, and I'm like, and then even in my dreams, I'm like asking her, "What are you doing here? Like, why are
Oh, that's
you
super cool.
here?" And this happens like every so many years. Like they'll come to visit, and I'm sure many people have that experience as well.
Yeah, that's super cool. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you get anything from them?
No, they're very happy. They're so happy. And I think that's what makes me very happy to know that they're not sick. Like when you last see them, they're not in the best state, but they're just, you could just tell they're smiling. It's like a visitation. That's the way I feel about it.
There's certainly a comforting aspect to it all. I mean, I have a very strange my reality is very strange, and I've gotten used to it. But it's like you can't just dialogue with anyone on the street about it. Like it's gonna fall apart, right? But I will say this for folks who have had experience with people or pets who have passed. My dad passed at the end of January, and I felt a whole lot of something for 24 hours after he left. Just a whole lot of activity is the best way to phrase it. And I was talking to someone, and they're talking from a very human perspective. And I didn't tell him what I just told you, but he's like, "Well, have you tried to talk to him?" And I'm like, no, I can't do that. Like, there's other people who can, right? Like, I'm answering it from this perspective." And there's like silence, and I'm like, "Oh, that's not what he meant from that question, you know?" So that's just part of it. But having talked to the critters, and when it comes time, I'll go back to Adelita, and if he wants to show up, he'll show up.
I mean, I think similar to, humans, when your pets pass, they want to make sure you're okay. At
Yeah.
least, that's what I personally believe. And so they're there hanging around. I'll tell a very, very short, quick story. God, it was about 8 years ago. My friend and I, we usually every evening when we would get off of work, we used to like practice giving readings to each other. And her little Pomeranian, very, very small, white, cute Pomeranian would be in her lap while we're practicing all the time. And so I think we've been practicing together for a couple of years, but anyway, I went to her house the next day, and apparently her dog died because she was, so tiny and she choked on some food. I was so devastated, like she was devastated. Anyway, we were sitting there talking and we were about to practice. All of a sudden, we both heard her Pomeranian start barking. So bizarre. We looked at each other like, holy crap, she's here. It's I'll never forget that, because when I have experiences like that, it's very rare, you're having them while somebody else is sitting there with you.
And a
But
shared experience.
yeah, exactly. It was very, we were, I mean, to both, she and I, we were used to dealing with all types of spirits, but it was like a blessing, like, okay, she's
Yeah.
here with us. We know she's here and she wants us to know that she's here.
Yeah.
And I
Yeah.
love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, don't feel bad type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so unexpected, but I was also like, oh, I love knowing that they are here and they want us to know, like, it's okay.
Yeah, super cool.
It is super cool. So, out of all the animals you've communicated with, who's the funniest?
Oh, I've never been asked that. Who's the funniest? There's one of two that are funny, and I mean, and I found them funny. They may not be objectively funny, but there was one dog that showed up in a reading. And the question that the client asked was about another dog, about what do I do with this aggressive dog? This aggressive dog is biting the other dogs. One has been in the hospital twice with stitches. I mean, like real things, right? Real consequences. And as I was asking the original dog, the one who was biting. Because the woman, the client wanted to know, like, does the dog have a preference? Stay, go, whatever. And I said, like, do you have this? Do you have a preference? And out of nowhere, I hear this really deep voice, and I heard she stays. And I was like, oh, well, that's not the original dog I was talking to. The voice changed, and she gave me two pets to talk to. One was the one who was doing the damage, and the other was the one who was getting the damage. And the one who got the damage is the one who said she stays. And so I bring that up to her, and she's like, why would that dog possibly say that? I said, I don't know. My job is like, have you ever seen someone translating at court? Right? They're taking one language and giving it another. That is my job. If I were to say, I think, that means it's coming from me, but if not, I'm just telling you what I hear or see, right? Like, try to keep it clean. And as we're talking about it, she goes, I haven't thought about this as an option, but my son has a good relationship with the dog that gets bitten. I wonder if that's a solution here. I don't know. Let's give it a shot. But that's not how the conversation started. It was, what about to do with dog A? Dog B is staying, and dog B changed the dynamics to go, maybe think about it a little differently.
Wow, that's totally crazy. Like, it's just so unexpected. I mean, I guess you just never know what you're going to get
Never.
when you're doing this type of work. So,
Yeah.
what has been your biggest, I guess, takeaway after working with a variety of animals over the few years you have?
Yeah, the wild animals are different than domestic animals in terms of what they communicate. I mean, and it's all from their perspective, right? Like, so the dolphin in Mexico that I chatted with, it was from the perspective of the swimming pool that is it essentially lived in. The coyotes that came in for a visit were very specific to their experience. They're wild coyotes. It's from their perspective, right? And the animals that are associated with humans, it's from their perspective about the humans. And so it's super interesting how the real life, their 3D life, is what shapes what comes from them. The consistent thing with the pets, if that's the right word, I don't think it's the right word, and I don't know what the right word is, but like pets has a hierarchy tied to it, and it's common language, we'll use it, but I don't feel good about it. They are always looking out for the well-being of the human. And here's the other thing, is they are just straight shooters in terms of the information. This is how it is. And I say that in contrast to, mediums being like, oh man, you're so lucky. I talk to humans out of body, and they're sort of the same sometimes. Frequently, they're the same. So if they're a wise ass on the planet, they're sort of a wise ass in spirit. If they're a little malicious and on the planet, they could be malicious in spirit in some ways, right? And I don't get any of that. I get straight talkers who are just like, here's the information I want you to deliver. And there's never been a question of, and it was weird one time, like this witchy type of thing showed up. But that was even still in, like, it was mocking, but it was still in, and I'm not sure if it was an animal, but that was still in service to the human. Because the animals are the gatekeeper there. Right. So like they wouldn't let something else come through that I've seen that would be detrimental to the conversation. There's meaning to it.
Are there any limits, I guess, to communication? When I think of like who the types of animals you can talk to, what about, I don't know, I'm just like thinking of all the different types.
Yeah.
Something besides like a dolphin, like I don't know, a starfish, a jellyfish. Is there communication with that?
I would well imagine that there is. I haven't had that experience, but I would not. Here's what I would definitely not do. Is go, because it's a starfish and it has all those little suckers and you can't even see a smile on it, right? Like from the human perspective, diminish, right? It has nothing to offer. Absolutely not. No way. Because that, I mean, and that's where I made my first mistake, was like, that's not happening. There's no higher level being coming in here to teach me anything. He poops in a box, right? Come on, give me a break. That's not what it is. That is what it is. So, I mean, it's like watching little kids, and like you get these profound statements from these little kids, and you're like, oh, like you make it sound so simple and clear because you didn't have to deal with all the nonsense of the world and get pushed around and try to fit in and blend to make it all work. You didn't have to do that. So you just see it like this and you go, well, that just doesn't make sense. Why are people being mean to each other? No shit. You're
Yeah.
right. Yeah.
So what advice would you give for, I don't know, animal owners, if they wanted to try to start communicating with their animals?
There are two ways that are easy for folks to communicate. One is recognizing mirroring and modeling behavior. So I, Chuckadoo, little Chucky, the cat, he will ask to play every day, every night. He will run downstairs. He waits. Our bedroom is down the stairs to the right. He goes down the stairs and straight to the other room where we play. Like we're playing. And he knows I have it, not necessarily the greatest relationship with this computer. I'll grind on the computer, right? So to break away, he's like, you got to play more, right? So there's a modeling behavior there. I talked to a young lady whose dog was biting people who came over, and she wasn't a happy person. And the conversation led into, this is mirroring behavior. You're not happy. Your dog is showing you, actively showing you your lack of happiness. Right? So to pick up what the behaviors are more than just the little, and sometimes they're little things, right? Like you can't look at every animal that comes across your path and go, oh my God, visitation. There's animals out in the wild, right? They're doing their thing, right? Not everyone's a visitation. But that also means that some of them have something to say. Some of those communications have something to say. They are important. So being open to what that could possibly be and re really giving it some thought, right? So that mirroring and modeling behavior. The other thing is how you communicate with your animal. Sort of like if someone did you wrong a little bit and you confront them, but they don't feel like they need to be apologizing, but you're like, you got to apologize. They're like, okay, I'm sorry. You may be like, you don't really feel like you're sorry, right? That's not landing really good for me. Like you're saying it, you're looking at me in the eyes, but like, this is so meaningless right now, right? There's not a match. It doesn't match. And so the way that reflects in the animal world is when you're communicating to the animal is you need to be able to say it clearly, see it clearly, and also feel it, right? So there was a young lady who showed up and she said, I got this problem. My dog doesn't want to go out at night to pee. Walk me through it. Okay. I'm in my gown. It's 9 o'clock. Open the door. Point to the place in the yard where we go out during the day, like it's no problem. The dog comes over to me, sits down, looks at me. Well, how do you feel about going out outside at night? Well, I'm afraid of it. Let's talk about this. Okay. So you're seeing it. You're saying it. You're not feeling it. You're willing to throw the dog outside and then be happy when it comes back because you're afraid to go outside with the dog. Right? So it needs to be okay. Like maybe you're feeling a little lazy. If you're feeling tired, you're not up to it. Like there's got to be some other reason than I'm afraid it's not good for me. It's okay for you, right? Good for the goose, good for the gander, whatever, right? Something like that. But if you're not feeling it, And so if you were to think about it again from their perspective, what matters least amount is what you say and what you see, I would argue. It's really what you feel means the most. And then everything else should be in line with that. Maybe that's not entirely right, but minimally you got to feel it. You got to be okay with whatever it is. And so here's another good one, like in terms of like training dogs who another client showed up with this. Training dogs to be quiet when someone knocks on the door. Right? It's so much when the dog barks. Well, that's their job is to protect you, right? But here's the difference. If you're expecting someone to show up at 9 o'clock because your friend Jimmy's showing up and Jimmy knocks on the door at 8:59, you're not going to feel anxious. And you should say, it's okay, it's Jimmy, go sit down. And after so many cycles and rotations of training, that should work. However, if you're not expecting someone to show up at 9 o'clock at night and you feel a little certain way when that door gets knocked and you say that to the dog and the dog's not quieting down, should the dog quiet down? It shouldn't. Not in this instance, right? And you may feel now anxious about the door and the dog because the training's gone to shit and someone's at the door and who is that? Right? No, the dog is there doing the service for you. It's not a match for you, that knocking on the door. So understanding how they show up, why they show up, why they act the way they do from this perspective is helpful.
That's awesome. I'm sure people really benefit from applying what you said. Nick, it was great speaking with you today. If people want to find you and connect with you, how can they?
Yeah, please do. My cat schooled me. You can show up there and get a session. Happy to chat with your dog. If you're feeling like, there's some weird things that show up sometimes, and people come to me and talk about the weird thing these days. It's
Yeah,
wonderful.
I
It's a
bet.
ton of fun. And I sit down with folks and have an experience with them to help them work through that and see that you can do this too. Some version of this is available. It's available for everyone. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of help from someone to get you there, but you can absolutely 100% do it.
Well, thank you again for sharing your insights and your experiences, Nick. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, everybody, take care.